At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Final half hour of Gwen and Chris. I am Matt Scraby, and this is 97.3 The Fan. Thank you to everybody who has joined us today. I'm leading you up to Sammy Lev's EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show at 5:40 p.m. And we have a couple things we're going to do here in the next half hour. We're going to hear from Robert Suarez shortly. We're also going to talk about, in the next segment, we're going to talk about, I haven't been able to talk about anything random in a while. We're going to talk about the guy who started Fyre Festival. He's at it again, everybody. At it again. And you know, when I say Fyre Festival, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's next segment. And then we're also going to meet our Padres director. Kyle is going to be on the air. And we'll meet him a little bit later. Because I think it's fun to get to meet the people that are working on the station and pushing all the buttons. And it's where I started, was right over there in that chair. So there is personalities that sit in that chair. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking because I have no idea what I'm talking about. News today. DJ LeMahieu DFA'd by the Yankees. He was actually told he was going to go to the bench, and then they ended up DFA'ing him. Reports out of the Yankees say that he was unhappy with having to go to the bench, which is a very standard type operating thing for teams. When a player is unhappy and then they DFA them, then they go to the media and say, well, that player didn't like that we did what we did. So I think that it's definitely something that AJ Preller and co. are going to look into. And I think that it's not such a bad idea to see what happens, because you have about, let's see, my math, 22 days or so until the trade deadline. So if you bring DJ LeMahieu in and you give him a couple weeks to see what he could do, I know a couple weeks is not really a lot of time, but he's a veteran. He can show up in San Diego and he'll be fine. He doesn't need to like prepare or anything like that. But if they get some good at-bats out of him over the next 2-3 weeks, and this is all hypothetical because he's not with the team, but if they get some at-bats with him, good at-bats over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, maybe that helps out a little bit with what you need in the trade market. Maybe that means that you don't have to trade for a certain position, or instead of the one or two bats, you're only trading for one big bat. I mean, it does change stuff. If you could find someone that's out there that can come right in and contribute, I think that changes the strategy for the front office when the trade deadline comes down. So that's one option that the Padres have. And the other news item of the day would be just the game last night. The game last night. Oh, I'm sorry. I had it and then I forgot. ABS, the automated balls and strike system, is going to be in place for the All-Star game. And it's just for the All-Star game, but they're going to try it out. And, you know, I am fascinated to see how the strategy goes with the ABS system, because you only get two challenges. If you get your challenge right, you keep your challenge. If you get your challenge wrong, you lose your challenge. And only three players on the field can challenge: pitcher, catcher, batter. So I feel like some guys are going to get the go-ahead to challenge whenever they want. But like, what if you challenge in the first inning and then you waste your challenge and say another one happens, and then you're out of challenges and there's a clear ball called a strike later in the game? Then you're just kind of having to wear it, and that's no fun. So that whole strategy of the ABS system next year is going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really fun to watch. Last night, Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr. saved the game for the Padres. if not for them, that game probably ends 3-1. We'll just say Arise hits the home run. 3-1 or 3-0, because Jackson Merrill robbed Corbin Carroll of a 2-run home run, and Fernando Tatis Jr. robbed Josh Naylor of a solo shot later in the game, and that would have tied up the game for the Padres, or for the Diamondbacks. So both of those guys doing big things last night. And one thing that I saw in my morning prep is a quote from Jackson Merrill that I think it's becoming more and more apparent to me that this team does one thing, and that is when things are going bad in a certain area of the game, they want to focus on how they can help the team. I think that's a great message. I think that's a great mindset to be in. And Jackson Merrill said, after last night's game, quote, "I haven't been doing bleep with the bat. I have to do something with my glove. It's always like that. Whenever you can't produce on one side of the ball, how can you produce on the other side of the ball? Stay locked in always and don't give anything away." Last week, the catch against the Phillies was a little easier because the wall is smaller. But I've got some experience now. I kind of love those ones now. Last year when I saw those, I'd sprint really hard and get to the ball as fast as possible. I'd get to the wall. I'd have to slow up and put my hands on the wall. Now it's just like, no matter what, get there, slow down, and get ready to jump. And when I was talking to Tony Gwynn Jr. about it a little bit earlier, he was, because Jackson also said he likes to watch Michael Harris of the Braves, because Michael Harris is a great robber of home runs, and so he likes to watch different guys, and that to me tells just everything about Jackson Merrill, tells me that he's a mature player and he's going to grow into a great major leaguer, because he's not afraid to look outside the box. He's not afraid to look at his peers for help, and that is, even if that's just studying Michael Harris hitting home or robbing home runs, that's what he needs to do. So Jackson Merrill has been great in center field. He keeps getting better in center field, and I think that is what we expected, number one. And number two, I think that Jackson Merrill is just a supreme athlete. And if you're wondering how he was able to catch that ball, because he got up there, he's 6'3", and he's an athlete, so he could probably jump really high. And we saw it last night, and we've seen it a couple times this year. Happy Hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts, trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing, and so is swim season. Call GL Pools and mention radio for a free month of pool service. All right, I already told everybody that yesterday, about 5 minutes before the show ended, the news came down that Robert Suarez was made an All-Star, and I missed that news, and I'm not going to miss it this time. And we have some audio of Robert Suarez being talking to the media today, and he was basically asked, how do you feel to be an All-Star? And so we're going to play both the Spanish and English versions of this, but here you go.
Robert, congratulations on being named to the 2025 All-Star team. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
¿Qué fue tu reacción? Bueno, primero felicitarte por estar nombrado para el All-Star Game. ¿Qué era tu reacción?
Sí, agradecido por la oportunidad y emocionado de poder participar nuevamente en el Juego Estrella.
Yeah, just grateful for the opportunity and lucky and fortunate that I'll be able to participate in another All-Star game.
What are you looking forward to from the experience?
¿Qué es lo que más te interesa en llegar a otro All-Star game?
Disfrutar la experiencia. Ya disfruté el año pasado, ahora voy a disfrutar al máximo esta experiencia de este nuevo año.
Yeah, just to have fun as much as possible. I did that last year, and I'm really looking forward to doing that again this year.
What did you take away from the experience last year, getting to go and participate in the festivities?
¿Qué llevaste del año pasado que puedes atraer a este año de disfrutar el aspecto que es el All-Star Game?
Sí, agradecido de estar allí y de compartir con muchos jugadores, coaches, y estar como sabes, un equipo de estrella, eso da mucha emoción y me siento agradecido por eso.
Yeah, just to be able to be around all these coaches and players, these awesome players that are around the game, and just being able to, be in that moment and be with those guys, and really appreciative about those people being around.
Robert, after last night, you lead the major leagues in saves. How would you describe what you've done so far this season?
¿Cómo puedes describir lo que has hecho este año, ya que estás al líder de todos los salvos de juego?
Sí, seguir trabajando, seguir preparándome, seguir trabajando para aprovechar las oportunidades que me toque en situación de salvamento o la situación que el equipo me necesite lanzar. Tengo que seguir preparando, que todavía falta mucha temporada.
I know I just have to keep preparing myself as best as I can for every outing, every situation that the team needs me for, and that's what I take out of these first couple games or this first half, is just that I have to keep preparing myself for any situation that comes up.
All right, that is Robert Suarez. I'm sure Sammy Lev will be playing more of that a little bit later. Wanted to get you his thoughts on becoming an All-Star. And one thing that's apparent to me is I know why Robert Suarez is a closer now, because he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and Robert Suarez going to the All-Star game. And I think that's a huge honor for him, obviously. And I know that some people around here may say that he doesn't deserve it, but he definitely deserves it. Has he struggled here down the stretch a little bit? Maybe a little bit, but when it's all said and done, I think Robert Suarez is the closer of this team, and he's going to be the closer of this team. You don't close 26 games and not be good at it. You have to be good at it. And he went 1-2-3 last night. But I get a little nervous because there's lots of full counts with Robert Suarez. And the full counts in last night's strike zone with the umpire, you never knew which way it was going to go. And it could have snowballed very easy, but it didn't. Didn't snowball. Padres get the win 1-0. And they have an opportunity tonight to gain on the National League West. They have an opportunity because the Dodgers lost to the Brewers in 10 innings. The Brewers walked it off, and that makes 6 straight losses for the Dodgers. They have been swept in back-to-back series, one of those sweeps in their hometown of LA. So they're, I don't like using this word, but this is what came to my mind. They're scuffling right now. And you got to take advantage of that. The other team that lost, that's above you in the standings, or at least right next to you in the standings, is the San Francisco Giants. And they got crushed today by the Phillies, 13-0. So both top teams lost. This is a major opportunity for the Padres, and we've been talking about it. They have to take all the games that they can before the All-Star break. And with all of these, with these teams that are ahead of them, you can't waste these opportunities at this stage in the year. I know you still got about 70 games left or something, but those games are going to start going quick and they're going to dwindle. So you have to do it now. And I have a good feeling that the Padres know what happened today with the Dodgers and the Giants, and they know what's at stake for tonight. So I am looking forward to this game. Dylan Cease pitching for the Padres. Brandon Pfaadt pitching for the Diamondbacks. Brandon Pfaadt's been pretty good, and he's been pretty good against the Padres. So we'll see which version of Brandon Pfaadt we get tonight, and we'll see what version of Dylan Cease we get tonight. Tony and I talked about it earlier. He's got to figure out that second time through the lineup. First time through the lineup, he's good. Second time through the lineup, he's bad. Third time through the lineup, he's even better than the first time through the lineup. So it doesn't make any sense to me or Tony. But we got to see if he can fix that. And I have a feeling that the pitching whisperer has a few tricks up his sleeve. So let's see what happens with Dylan Cease tonight. All right, let's go to break. On the other side, I told you I was going to talk about a fire festival story, and it's kind of crazy. And we'll get into some other stuff. We'll meet our Padres director, Kyle. And then we will hand you off to Sammy Lev at 5:40 for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show right here at 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here, Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby with you, Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, Chris Ello on vacation until Monday, so you'll have to wait to hear his silky smooth pipes until Monday to get back. If you want me to do an Ello voice, I can. Hey, everyone, it's Ello. How are you doing today? It's much different when Tony isn't here because Tony thinks it's hilarious and it keeps me going, but I really sometimes say things into the microphone and have no idea how it hits out there. Anyway, Sammy Leff coming up at 5:40 with your EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. He's going to have Mike Schilt audio. I'm sure he'll have some Robert Suarez audio, and, you know, Sammy will do his thing. Before we get into the Fyre Festival thing, I want to bring up the Rafael Devers, Will Clark, Will Fleming thing. And so to quickly catch you up, yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday or the day before, Will Fleming, who is a Red Sox broadcaster, went on a podcast or a radio show and said that Rafael Devers no-showed Will Clark three times. And he said he was there on Saturday and that he just didn't come out. Well, Will Clark had a response to that, or actually explained the situation, which does make sense. And it was Rafael Devers just got traded to the Giants, and the next series was the Red Sox. And so the visiting dugout is right across from first base. And so Will Clark kind of describes it as, you know, he didn't want to go to do first base and be 20 feet away from the team that just traded him and the team that kind of threw him under the bus a little bit. So I kind of understand that a little bit. Will Fleming today is feeling the heat of his out of context contribution to this whole thing, and he tweeted out, "Since the whole of SF seems mad at me, I just want to clarify again. I was repeating a story that one of the great Giants told on his own pod. I'm not trying to push a narrative or opine about the trade. No one has any ill will towards Rafi. It was just time for a change here." Here's what I gotta say about that. I don't know Will Fleming, but this is a hit piece. This is a clickbait thing. He knew that when he got his hands on this juicy angle, he knew that his fans back in Boston were going to love this. And they were going to just click, 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 click. Now, it's all good to say, I'm not trying to push a narrative, but you didn't tell the full story. You didn't tell the part of the story where Will Clark says, maybe Rafael Devers didn't want to do it in front of the Boston Red Sox dugout. That's a huge part of the story, and you just left it out. And so if you're going to do that, that tells me that you are fixing the story to make it more salacious for your audience. And I am not a fan of this. I like to at least, you know, present every single part of the story because I don't want to be one-sided. But this seems extremely one-sided, and it seems a little petty, in my opinion. Will Clark also said that, or not Will Clark, but I saw a tweet of Rafael Devers actually taking grounders at first base while the Red Sox were there. So he was out at first base at some point, but I'm a little tired of this whole Rafael Devers thing because he's been traded, he's gone, but it just seems like the Red Sox media, because I was looking at some of the comments on the tweet from the actual posting of the podcast, and it's like, get over this, can we move on now, Rafi's gone type of thing. So if this was a clickbait endeavor, then I do think that it worked. But if you want to be known as a clickbait guy, then you'll be known as a clickbait guy. And I'm not sure that Will Fleming wants to be known as a clickbait guy. I think he's going to keep getting pushback, and I think that he's probably at this point like, can I please just have this story die? But the answer is no. No, you cannot, because you brought it up. And Will Clark brought it up too, but Will Clark told the story a little bit better. I just don't like the personal attacks that Red Sox fans and front office are delivering towards Rafael Devers. Now, I'm not saying Rafael Devers is in the clear. I'm not saying that he didn't have a bad ending with the Boston Red Sox, but I just think you have to present everything. And he hasn't said anything about this to my knowledge, so that would be kind of an awkward question for a reporter to ask. What do you think of what they said? Like, maybe they're not. Reporters will have to ask that question, but I haven't seen anything yet from Rafael Devers. So maybe tomorrow, if we get something tonight, we will talk about it because the Giants lost and they had a day game, so they didn't have media availability before the game. All right, real quick, before we go any further, I talked about Firefest months ago because the owner, founder of Firefest, Billy McFarland, he got out of jail after the first Firefest disaster. And so if you don't know what Firefest is, F-Y-R-E, there's a couple documentaries out there that are really good. But he claimed to all these people he was going to have this big music festival. It was going to be down, I think, in the Bahamas or one of those tropical locations. And he was going to have an island. He was going to have cabanas, bungalows. He was going to have all these great things for everyone who paid an exorbitant amount of money. And he was going to deliver one of the best experiences they've ever had. Well, when people got there, they realized real quick, this is not going to be the best experience I've ever had. It was FEMA tents, literally like leftover FEMA tents that were put up as the bungalows. And also they had the sandwiches were like just two slices of white bread, some maybe mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato. So it wasn't what they thought. There was not, it wasn't great. It seemed like a big old scam, and it ended up being kind of a big old scam. But recently he said, Billy McFarland, I'm going to relaunch the Fyre Festival. That's what I want to do. So everybody, it's going to happen. Just keep on waiting for it. And we kept on waiting for it, but nothing happened. And now Billy McFarland is trying to sell off the Firefest brand's intellectual property in a seven-figure deal, but he claims that the seven-figure deal fell through. So now he says, hey, here's his quote. We had a seven-figure deal for the complete Fyre brand and IP package that fell through this morning, but now the opportunity to own the Fyre brand is back on the table. I don't think anybody really wants the Fyre brand. It's not really that great. But in the end, what I'm getting at here is that this guy does not get it. He does not get it. Who believes that someone is going to pay over $1 million for this brand? This brand is more of a novelty than anything. I don't even know what the brand is. They haven't actually delivered anything yet. They're just, it's the only thing that they've delivered is a really terrible experience years and years ago. And he ended up going to jail for it because he messed around with a lot of people's money, and he found out what happened when you mess around with a lot of people's money. But it's just like, here's another thing that I think is insane. Insane. So there's the Fyre Hotels experiences out there. And so McFarland's idea for the hotel experience is rooted in the same 2013 incident that inspired him to create the Fyre Festival. I've heard about him before, but apparently he says it's true. Quote, a software engineer and hobbyist pilot challenged Billy to leave NYC and to try and fly a small plane from New York City to a remote Caribbean island, which sounds legit. Like, let's just put a guy who has no idea how to fly a plane in a plane to fly to a Caribbean island. Along the way, Billy overshot, ran out of gas, and was saved by a landing strip on a remote island. The magic of the island created a legend that quickly spread back home. So this guy, I think he's just a compulsive liar is what he is. I kind of feel bad for him at this point. But if you get anything in the mail saying, hey, you could buy the Fyre brand, do not invest in the Fyre brand, everybody. Do not invest in the Fyre brand. All right, we are going to bring on Kyle. There he is. He's on the screen now. Kyle Ovenshire is one of our Padres directors. And if you say, what's a director? He's the one who's running the show. He's the one who's pushing the buttons. He's the one who's doing the legal. He's the one who's doing the highlights, all that stuff behind the scenes. And so I thought it would be nice to get Kyle on here for a second. Kyle, how has working for Padres Radio been for you so far?
It's been pretty awesome, to be honest. You know, I'm an avid sports fan. I was an avid listener before working here. So to be in this spot now feels pretty special, to be honest.
How did you get to that spot? Because a lot of people ask me, how do I get involved in radio? And my answer is, try to get into something like Padres Radio.
Right. Honestly, it just starts at the beginning. You know, you just want to find your passion, for me. It's sports and media, and radio kind of fits the bill for both those things. I just got lucky enough to see the job opening and apply.
Yeah, and you're definitely a Padres fan. So does yeah. is it harder working here as a Padres fan and working for Padres Radio?
I wouldn't say it's harder. I would say it's just the same. The scenery changes, you know, like
that's true.
From the car or from the couch to the board. You know, we listen to the game and we watch the game at the same time. So it's a lot of hooting and hollering, for sure.
You know what's funny about, I mean, it's not funny, I guess, but in here in the studio, we get the real true time call. And so for maybe a half a second, this studio knows what happened before anybody else, except for if you're at the stadium. But what has it been like to work with the great Dave Marcus?
I mean, working with everyone here is kind of surreal, as I mentioned.
Tell me why.
Just being an avid listener, you know, meeting you and meeting the other guys, except for Ben and Woods yet.
But okay. We'll make that happen.
We'll make it happen. But yeah, other than that, you know, it's been awesome. It's been surreal just to meet all of you and be in this place, as I mentioned, just being an avid listener and, you know, hearing these voices in the car versus, you know, having personal interaction is pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember when I started radio, I was telling Kyle, because this is your first time ever on the air.
Yep.
And you're doing a great job. You're doing an absolutely great job. But I was telling Kyle the first time I was ever on the air, he has a much easier task because I went and had to, for a morning show across, you know, another morning show years and years and years ago, like 9 years ago, I had to go buy feminine hygiene products as like a bit. So that was a much harder thing for me to talk about. But I know we're coming up at the end here. What is your goal? What are your goals for working here? What are your goals for 10 years from now? What do you want to do with your life?
It's a great question. Honestly, honestly, anything that is doing with sports and media, sitting here is great. I want to be on the TV side of things. So okay. Maybe one day I'll be a part of Padres TV. Who knows? ESPN. We'll see. But yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks. All right. Well, thank you, Kyle. And it's Kyle Ovenshire.
That is correct.
It's not Ovenshire. I hope Dave Marcus is listening right now. It's Kyle Ovenshire, but a born and bred San Diegan here running these games. So thank you very much, Kyle, for being here. And you've done a great job.
Thank you.
I don't say that every day, but you have.
Appreciate it.
All right. That is it for me. Up next, our guy, Sammy Lev, is going to be taking over for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show here on 97.3 The Fan. Let's go, Padres. Hopefully they get a win tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.